Come on up. Come on up. High school or college, even if you're getting your master's and all that stuff, come on up. These are the girls, right? These gifts were picked out from my wife. She did all that. I did not have any partake in that. So you probably would have got a saw from me or a drill. Let's stretch your hand out to these girls here. Father God, we just thank you for these young ladies who are accomplishing something that is in your will, Lord. And we just thank you for their life, health, and strength, Father God, that they continue to be a vessel for you, Lord, and that they will not compromise themselves in the ways of the world, Lord, and that they continue to follow you and put you first in everything they do in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Title of my message today, y'all ready for this? Get you three. Get you three people that is down for you, that is down for God, that will have your back, that will do what the Lord is leading them to do. Get you three people. If you only have one, say, Lord, find me two more. But if you can have three people in your life, three to four people, there's four of you, you can do some damage for the kingdom of God. Who had three friends that you knew of growing up as teenagers way back in the day? Daniel and his three friends. They ended up changing a whole nation. And they were serving the same God as you. Friendships are important. Wherever you're going through life, we know that saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We know that. Friends will have you leading down and going down the right path. Man, we used to have Friday night services. We used to bring our one friend and just be my brothers and I. Friday night youth night, you know, football game's going on and I'm there. My dad's preaching to us. And we'll bring that one friend. But it didn't matter. Because we knew we had to be in that place. Not that we were listening. But the thing is that when you have that friend that you're bringing along the journey with, that you're sharing certain things with and your faith, it will help you grow tremendously. And I'm not talking about a friend that is just going to be a yeah, let's just do whatever. No, you need some friends that's going to call you out sometimes. You need some friends that's going to tell you the truth. You need some friends that's going to have your back. You need some friends that's going to pray with you. You need some friends that's going to move mountains with you. Those are the friends you need in life. And if you don't have those type of friends, Lord, send me one. Okay, now we got another one. We're growing together. Lord, send me another. We need another one in our group. We need another one that's on fire for you. We need another one. You get that other two. Now you got three. Now get another one. Just one more. You know, Jesus had his inner circle. He had three, Peter, James, and John, that he just shared intimate details with. Showed him certain things, transfiguration. He had those three friends. Get you three friends that you can roll with. Because you can do some things for the kingdom. You can do something. You can make an impact in your city, not just in your own family, but in your city and in the state and in this nation. And it would be for the kingdom of God. Get you three that you can roll with. Y'all know you had three way back in the day that you can roll with and do some dirt with. Raise some hell with. You know you have friends like that. Now get you some friends that where you can raze hell for the kingdom of God. Get you three friends. Get you three friends. If you got your Bibles, open up to Psalms 9:9. It says this, God is for he's for the oppressed. We're going to be reading out of Ecclesiastes as well. And King Solomon here, he authored the book of Ecclesiastes. King Solomon is basically depressed and all that because of all he knows and what he sees daily. This man has so much wisdom. He has so much wisdom. You know, that could be a curse at times too. I mean, just to know a lot. I mean, but the things he talks about are meaningless and under the sun. The oppression that takes place. Solomon has seen the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. People, if you know your Heavenly Father, God is a God for the oppressed. He does not like seeing his kids or his children oppressed at all. He does not like seeing them oppressed. He doesn't like it when evil is coming against those who can't defend themselves. There's a great reason for the church to step up and help all of those who are being oppressed rather than just joining the crowds. It's a whole lot easier to join the crowds. But see, when you have those three, they won't join the crowd. They'll be like, wait a minute, this isn't God's movement. We're not going to join them. We're going to be against them because God is for us. See, when you stand up and speak the truth, that's when you will begin to make enemies. But in Psalms 9:9, it says, the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. In Psalms 146, it says, he gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. God's for them. In Isaiah 1:17, it says, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the right of widows. Solomon also concludes that the reason why people are motivated to be successful is because they are envious of their neighbors in this earlier chapter. So Ecclesiastes 4 says this, I observe yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for and why? Solomon's on a roll here. If you're going to be on a roll, be on a roll speaking the word of God over your life rather than going down a rabbit trail and just kind of just be down and out about it. Says, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. The pride of life is not from God, but it is something that the world desires for you to have. You have to be living this kind of life. You have to be wearing these type of clothes. You have to be driving this type of car. In order to be successful, this is what you're going to have to do. I never buy into what people are, Hollywood would say and things of that nature, because they don't tell, you got to work hard. You got to strive. You got to follow your dreams. Guess what? They don't tell you that they sold their soul to the devil in order to get there. That's the part they don't tell you. They don't tell you, the world, the culture is not going to tell you, hey, sell your soul. If you sell your soul, this is what you're going to get. If you sell out, this is what you receive. But if you're a vessel for God, man, all those things, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all those things that people chase after, he says, they will just follow you. If you seek after his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have to go out and chase after all those things. The culture will tell you to do that. Verse 9, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. In Genesis 2:18, it says, God said it is not good for man to be alone. And he made a helper, a suitable for him. Who did he make? He made Eve. God made Adam. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he made him a helper, gave him Eve. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, we know it says that iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend, or sharpens the countenance of a friend. That friend will push you, help you to become better in life, help you to do better in life, help you to stay focused on God, stay focused on the things that are actually meaningful and true. In 1 Corinthians 12:18. It says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. See, we are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and there are many parts of the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. We don't need you. Can you imagine just being a head and then just a foot? That's a weird looking body. God forgive me if there's anyone out there like that. But that would be, but that's the thing. We're saying we don't necessarily need this part. We don't necessarily need that part. No, you do. Because of your makeup, there are many parts, but we make up one body. That is the body of Christ. Two are better than one, but because you can help each other succeed, the goal is for both of you to succeed rather than just propping up one person to take all the credit for you. You ever had that one person in a group project that kind of wanted to do everything and take all the credit? Or then there were some that was the caboose and really didn't do much and just kind of took credit along with them and stuff. Sometimes I was that guy, honestly. All right, you guys go ahead and do it all. I'll just stand there and nod. If you need me to beatbox, I'm good. But it says if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. True friends will help each other pick each other up when they do fall down. In today's culture, if someone falls, what ends up happening is, we're recording. Good Samaritan law. No. We're going to stand there and watch. We're going to make fun of them. We're going to post this on the internet. Man, this is going to be good. Social media got, oh, yep. Look at this. Instead of putting your phone down and helping. Oh, we're helping. Yeah, sure. Put your phone down and go help. If you have it in you, help. But this is the way our culture is. We'll record everything, but we won't do anything in order to help. The church can't be this way. There's a higher standard for us. God has placed us here. He has come down. Jesus has come down and has raised us up and seated us in heavenly places. We're the cream of the crop. Now, we don't go around acting like we're better than everyone else, but here's the thing, we're better off. Your friends, true friends, will laugh at you. Or they won't laugh. Tell a good joke, they'll laugh. If not, that was kind of dumb. They'll tell you the truth. They'll call you out when you're acting out. They will tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not, whether you're worried about how it looks for them. They do it because they love you. Sometimes we just have to stop getting offended by every little thing that people say. Sometimes we get offended too much. Can you bring me that stand, please? I can get it. No, my family is telling my daughter, she's not here, so she said, Dad, you gotta get up and do stuff. You can't be telling mom to go get you some water. Well, she's in the kitchen, throw me a bottle. Gotta get up. So no, I'll get it. You have to stop getting offended, playing the victim when people tell you the truth. In the last days, that spirit of offense is going to be running rampant. You get offended over the littlest thing. You don't have to. If that's you, that's you. That's correction. This one time I was talking to my son. I go, you know the difference between a criticism and a teardown? He goes, yeah. I said, if people criticize your game, if the coach criticizes your game or what have you, I said, use it. They're telling you you're dribbling too high. Go out there and work on it. Get your dribble low. But if they're trying to tear you down, let that go one ear and out the other. You don't have to dwell on it. Let that go one ear and out the other. When people try to tear you down and you recognize you can discern that spirit, you don't have to listen to what they say. Well, they can't take correction. You don't have to listen to what they say. They're trying to tear you down. That's not the word. They're trying to tear you down. You can never allow anyone to tear you down. And most people's opinions shouldn't really matter. You don't get hurt by your enemy's opinions. You get hurt by those who are actually close to you because you care about what they say. Nobody else can tear you down. So what can the world do in order to stop you when you got three with you? Not just one and not just two. You got three with you. They can't stop you. They can't stop you. They can't stop you because you're for Christ. They tell you the truth because they love you. In verse 11, it says, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm But how can one be warm alone? Well, I got myself a heated blanket. David, in his last days, when he was old, they couldn't keep him warm. They went in and brought a virgin in and laid her up right beside him. I would not suggest that, especially when you're already married. My wife sleeps on a heating pad. That keeps her warm. Now, I don't know, but ladies, are you that type when it comes to your husband, when you're laying in bed? And I'm not going to get graphic. And it's wintertime, and you choose to put your feet on him to make him jump. Kristen does that. That cracks her up. Right on your back. It's like, really? How are you? Two people lying close together can keep each other warm. Make sure you got a license to do that. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. It's a lot easier to fight back to back, but when you got three, you can cover every side. Get you three. If you don't have three and you've been doing pretty good yourself, I said, get you another one. Lord, I need another one in my life. What? I need another prayer warrior. Why? Because we can move some mountains. If you're married, you already got one there. You got your children. Depending on how many you have, train them up. You can do some things for the kingdom of God. And if you got some outside your family, that's even better. And King Nebuchadnezzar, man, he thought so highly of himself. Remember, he had a dream that he wanted everybody to tell him what the dream was and interpret it for him, which was just crazy. And Daniel ended up doing it. You know, Daniel went to God and he prayed to God, and the Lord showed him what that dream was about. So after it was all said and done, he just ran circles around all the sorcerers and magicians and things of that nature. I said, you know, the enemy. Always trying to duplicate what God can do, but he can't. Always trying to imitate. Well, Daniel and his friends get promoted. And then you see here in Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar decides to build this 90-foot statue of himself. He wasn't in love with himself at all. He thought more highly of himself. How tall does a statue have to be? 90 feet. And this wasn't an overnight project. And we have people that will place statues of themselves, or will have people make a shrine about others. The Bible tells us not to think more highly than we ought. You are the sons of God. You are not God. And a lot of times people will try to make themselves out to be God, which means they're placing themselves above what the Word of God actually says. Deception is not God-like quality. Seduction is not God-like quality. Neither is lying. God is not a man that he should. And after making this statue, he sent messengers to all the leaders in the land and wanted them to come and dedicate and to be a part of this dedication to this monstrosity here. It's made out of gold, it was made out of clay, it was made out of iron, it was made out of wood, it was made out of all sorts of things. But every race, every nation, every language was told, when the music drops, when they start playing the harps, when they start playing the flutes, when the music drops, you're going to have to bow down and worship this statue. So after it was all said and done, they decided to drop the music, start playing. Everybody falls down and worships, but three, actually four. They didn't say anything about Daniel. These are teenagers. But if people did not fall down and worship, What was the end result? Where were they going to be thrown into? Into the furnace. Nowadays, well, we'll just post your status. That's not the same. And we get upset when somebody may post something. Are you serious? Fiery furnace or somebody posting on social media and you just can't take the social media part. Get some backbone. Seriously. These are teenagers. You're a grown man. You're a grown woman. You are who you are in Christ. And you're worried about what somebody may post. And here these teenagers are being faced with a fiery furnace that when the beat drops, you're going to have to bow down and worship. And they chose not to. They chose to not obey. It's better to obey God than obey men. Every single time. I don't care what their status is. It is better to obey God. Again, when you start telling the truth, you're going to make a lot of enemies. It's better to obey God. People, if God has delivered you something, delivered you from something, if God has healed you from something, supernaturally has done a miracle, don't you ever dare try to erect anything in your life and take the place of God and try to make it out to be as it was you or this person over here, that person over there. It was God who delivered you out of that. You get credit where credit is due. He's the one that brought you out. He's the one that delivered you. We saw all that stuff that happened. I mean, we read about it, not seen it. We read about it with Moses. Come on. This calf is the one that delivered us out of Egypt. What? No, it was God. And we do this all the time. We may say that, you know, it could be because of this social status. It could be because of this individual over here. And we begin to idolize people in our life. And God is the one who is saying, I delivered you. I sent that individual into your life. You were the one praying. I answered that prayer in your life. God was the one who delivered you. It wasn't all these other people. Then what ends up happening? These young men, I said, well, of course, you see some of the other leaders, and astrologers and things of that nature, you know, the ones who are operating in the devil. Hey, these young men, they weren't, you know, you gave that order. These young men weren't bowing down. What are you going to do? Well, this is the law. We're going to have to throw them into the furnace. And you know what happened? Each and every one of them was thrown in. Three went in. But when they looked, there was a fourth. When you're thinking you're going into battle and it's just by yourself and you're standing for God, you're not doing it alone. He is always there with you. When you're crying your eyes out, you're pouring your heart out, Lord, he's right there. There's a reason why we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our counselor. He's our advocate. He's our comforter. You're not ever alone. So even when you do have three with you, there's four there with you. There's a fifth always with you. Because he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. And some of y'all may feel that you've been alone. Lord, I've been doing this. I've been praying. You've been praying, but you haven't been resting in what you've been praying for and what you're believing. Because you're trying to do it on your own. You pray, you believe, and you receive it by faith. Rest in it. Rest. It's a done deal. That's according to Jesus' word. Whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe in the things in which he says, he shall have whatsoever he says. So if you don't want it in your life, don't speak it. If you want it in your life, speak it out. Get an agreement. Get your three. And speak it out. That's why it's good to have people with you. I mean, you know, the enemy will always try to infiltrate that circle too, to try to get to the one. This is why we need people who are going to be sold out to God and not to money. You wouldn't be going around chasing after money. Well, I'm going to see if I can pay this person off in order to get it. I'm going to see if I can pay this person off in order to come against this individual here. No. You want three that's going to be like, yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm going to stand strong. Young people, don't ever compromise. Old people, don't ever compromise. And if you had, God forgives you. Come on, it's a new day. But don't sell out. Be a vessel for God. Don't sell out. I'm not going to sell out for no one. I don't care what they're dangling. You know, there was a, I'm going to share the story. I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but I'm going to share because I thought it was really, really good. I heard it on some guy doing a podcast or what have you. And he was talking about there was a young minister that was coming up. And I mean, just a great preacher and stuff. And he was at this conference. If I butcher it, forgive me. But he was at this conference and he's like, you know, the leaders sent hospitality over to his room and stuff because he was getting ready. And then they knock on the door. He opens it up and the woman's there. She goes, if you need anything, I'm part of hospitality. If you need anything, just let me know. He goes, all right, cool. And she goes, no. If you need anything, let me know. He goes, okay, got it. He's about to shut the door. She goes, no, he's not getting it. If you need anything, and she exposed herself. She goes, let me know. He goes, he shut the door so quick, got on the phone, called his wife up, and was like, they sent this woman to my room. She goes, you need to go in there and talk to him and ask what's going down. Well, got off the phone with her, went to the leaders, and they were not even fazed by it. They said, you didn't think you were going to climb the ranks without us having some dirt on you, did you? You don't ever compromise. That's dirty. I would have throat punched all of them before I left. If people don't like that phrase, seriously, Daniel and his friends would not compromise at all. You can't compromise. You get you three friends that will stick with the word of God and won't allow you to back down either. If you're acting up, they can get on you. Hey, this is wrong. By scripture, this is wrong. They don't have to twist nothing. I just deal with the facts. This is wrong. Pastor Tim, you can't throw punch people. Show me in the Bible. Thou shalt not throat punch. You won't find it. That's fine. Be the vessel that God has called you to be. Be the vessel. Your relationship with God is so much more important than what you think. In your everyday lives, your relationship with Him is. Choose to be a vessel today. And every single day, Lord, I want to hear what you say. Brandon was talking about that. I sent my notes. I didn't call him up. His voice should matter in your life more so than mine. Please let it. I'm not always right. Sometimes it may look it. I'm not always right. Be the vessel. She's already shaking her head. She's just mad because she ain't won a battle in about 8 years. Whoo. Choose to listen to God. Every day, you choose to listen. The enemy wants to keep you oppressed. That's not God's will. You don't have to fall for that. People will watch you. The enemy will watch you. They'll watch you. They'll observe you. They'll see what you're doing. And then when you begin to start making some strides, they'll send someone else to try to shut you down. I'm going to let you know. If you get caught up in that and be like, well, they're doing this, and you get in the blame game, you're going to be stuck. They can't stop you. You can stop yourself. I was working in a place years ago, and I realized, I mean, there was some racism in there. I can see it. I know it. But I knew a long time ago, I'm not going to ever allow anyone to stop me from feeding my family. You can't stop me from working. So you can say whatever it is you want to say. I'm going to work, and I'm going to cast that check, and I'm going to provide for my family. Period. And as I was getting promoted, over a bunch of them. Why? Because you don't get caught up in that stuff. My dad once told me, he told all of us, he goes, I named you James, Swanson, Timothy, Tyrone, Dante, and Jonathan. My name's Timothy. It means honoring God. Our names stand for something. If anybody calls you out of your name, you don't answer to. Hey, nigger. Just keep on walking. But in my head, I go, I know they ain't talking about me like that. They don't want me to turn around. You don't answer to that. Why? Because if they can trigger you, they got you. Anyone else gets called out of their name and you answer to it, they got you. God has given you a name for a reason. Your parents have named you for a reason. This is your name. It means something. It stands for something. Anyone who chooses to call you out of your name, I'm going to let you know, that's any race. That's any race. You don't answer to that. You answer to who you are in Christ. You answer to what you've been named. Why? Because the enemy will always use that as an opportunity to reduce you down to something that you're not. You'll start seeing that loss of identity happening in your life. What is it really about? Teach my kids that too. You get your three. You got three, Janice? You get your three. You can change some things. Be bold about it. You get three. I'm a loner. I don't have any friends. I'm just playing. Sometimes I like to be left alone. I'm introverted. I thrive by myself. I'm just playing. What God says about you is far more important than what others are trying to create about you. Listen and obey his word that is in scriptures and what it says about you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. Did not bow down. And even when they were getting ready to get thrown into the fire, they go, we still won't obey you. We're going to obey God. We're going to place our trust in God. God will save us. He will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. God will save you. He will deliver you. He will bring you out of that. But even if he doesn't, I'm not going to get upset with this post. That's not the same thing, but still, you shouldn't. I'm not going to get us. Some people's biggest decision is like, I don't know if I'm going to go to church because I don't know what pastor's going to say. If that's your biggest problem in life, you got it made. Seriously, you worried about what I'm going to say or any pastor across the nation is going to say, and that's your biggest fear, what they're going to say? That's not a big thing. Because if they're saying something that the Lord has put on the heart, I guarantee it's for you if you're willing to grow. Anybody get offended by the N-word that I just said today? I apologize if I did, if I offended you. And if I offended you, get over it. No, he called him by name. Brian. What's your middle name? Huh? Shannon. Shannon. Is that after a football player or a friend? Friend. There you go. He calls you by name. Jesus calls you by name. Not by your sin. He calls you by name. See, that's the beauty of having a relationship with him. He knows your name. It stands for something. You get your three friends. And watch God take you to another level. Three friends. Well, I don't have three friends. Pray for one. Well, I just need a friend. Well, you have a friend in Jesus. Because he will show you things. He will tell you things. But you can believe God for one. And if you can get one, grow together. And if you can get another one, that's awesome. And if you get a third, that's even better. And if there's a gang of y'all, that's even better. But do it for the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self. One, two is better than one, three is better than two. So if you only have one and it's your partner, your spouse, y'all gonna have to learn to get along. Stop fighting. You're gonna have to learn to get along. Y'all don't see what she does to me all week, so. Get your three friends that won't bow down to no one, that won't sell out to no one. And get to the place to where your trust is in God. If you trust in God, you wouldn't worry. I've stopped worrying about things a long time ago. I just come from the school of hard knocks. I learned the hard way. But you know what? I learned. And since I've done that, can't nobody move me. What? That was a valuable lesson that I'm not willing to back off of. You lose people in your life. You lose your job. There's the one particular time when, man, I embarrassed my mom, embarrassed my family. They have this thing. My mom was a supervisor at Technicolor where they do videotapes, you know, the Lion King clamshells, all that. They put all the inserts in there. We'd assembly line. So she's over 300 people. Well, one, this policy that was passed, they decided to give you these, we have these badges that you have to wear. They passed a policy where you have to wear them while you're on the line. I'm making $4.75 an hour. This is in 95. $4.75 an hour in Cali. Yeah, you can't live off that. And at the time, I think I was going to school and playing ball, so I was working. So I was three full-time. I was working part-time. So after games, 10 o'clock, get home, 10 o'clock, I go work a two-hour shift and stuff. So, well, I didn't want to wear this badge while I was working because you're flying, you're moving and stuff. It gets lost. You got to pay $10. You only make $4.75 an hour now. So I was sitting with the wrong people, the wrong type of friends that was egging me on. This is why I don't be a puppet for nobody anymore. Seriously, I was like, they were upset. I didn't really have a problem with it, but I was hanging out with them. They started talking, doing all this. Next thing you know, we're leaving. And I have my badge and my thing, and they go, show us your badge. And they weren't really mean about it, upset about it. That's just their job. And I just went off. I just flew off the handle. And I went off on them, every last one of them. Needless to say, that was my last day. Embarrassed my mom, embarrassed my family, my friends. Oh. And then I had to go in there and talk to the owner of the place, and his name was Mark. And he was a big fan of me because he watched, followed basketball and stuff when I was at college. And he goes, man, that doesn't seem like you. I said, no, it wasn't me. Doggone friends. Hanging around with the wrong people. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. They got me all riled up, man. They still got their jobs. But see, the thing is, the good thing about it is I was already on my way here. It was like the last week. But I learned something. School of Hard Knocks. Anytime I leave a job, I'm going to make sure I leave the right way. I'm going to thank everyone. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you. Worked at the Daily for 5 years. 5 years to the date, June 5th, 2000, 2005. I left. They wouldn't give me a raise. God bless you. Made some good friends there. You can't burn every bridge. All I'm saying is, if you get three, get you three. Start with one. And you already got that friend with Jesus, but start with one. And get you some guys that can hold you accountable, that can speak into your life, that can pray for you, that can be there for you. And God can do some extraordinary things in your life. And don't you dare back down from anyone. We all live in this nation. We all have our rights. But you have your rights in the kingdom of God as well. And that's more important. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, we know that we cannot spend eternity with you. And if there's anyone in here today that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus and you want to make him your Lord and Savior today, raise your hand and we will pray with you. We'll lead you that, lead you to that. He's done all the work. All you have to do is believe in his name. And if you want to do that, raise your hand. Lord, we believe that everyone is here, has a relationship with you. And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to do that right now, raise your hand. And we will pray with you. Thank you, little one. We thank you. Holy Spirit, have your way in here. In this place, in these people's lives. We thank you, Lord, that they hear your voice loud and clear. Every step of the way, every decision they make for their families, for their lives, for their homes, that they're doing it with your guidance. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for coming out. We'll see you next week, I believe.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.